Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this edition of this Revive Worship Service at First United Methodist Church of Arlington. No matter how we are with you this morning, or whenever you actually hear this, it's a blessing to know that there is connection between God's children. Let's worship together. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass, my heart will sing your praise again. Oh, Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness, I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move, you move the mountain, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Oh, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Holy God, we thank you for today. And God, even in the midst of life being so different than what we're used to, God, being taken out of our routines and the comfort of seeing people that we usually see, God, even though that's not our reality right now, God, the one thing that has not been taken away from us at all, God, is your presence and your love. God, we do thank you for this time that a lot of the busyness has been taken away. God, that hopefully has in many ways brought us closer to you. God, we thank you for that time. And for those of us that, God, that do have fear and worry and doubt what is to come, God, may we all find comfort in knowing that, God, that you are still in control. God, we're so thankful for that faithfulness that you have to us, your children. God, that when we as your children aren't able to love each other the same way, God, you never, ever fail to do that. And when life does present itself in crazy ways, God, you are the rock on which we can stand. God, we truly believe that just like you have delivered so many in so many different ways, God, you're continuing to do it now. And continuing to do it in ways, God, that we may not even recognize unless we stand back and look to see in which ways is God working. God, in those ways, God, we're so thankful. It's just the way that you're working through so many different people at this time. So again, God, we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness, and for the promise that you'll never, ever, ever leave us. It's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen.
Our reading today is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 29. Listen. After this, knowing that everything was already completed, in order to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was nearby, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Jesus had just made sure his mother, Mary, and the beloved disciple would now be mother and son for each other. Jesus had just cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And now Jesus, alone and anguished, hanging from the cross, says, I am thirsty. This is the first and last I am statement Jesus says from the cross. And this gospel is filled with Jesus telling us who he is. I am the light. I am the bread. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. When the woman at the well tells Jesus she knows that one day a Messiah will come who will proclaim all things, Jesus tells her, I am he. These I am statements give us glimpses into who Jesus was and is. And if we want to better follow Jesus, it only makes sense to deeply reflect on what these I am statements show us. So what is Jesus showing us when he says, I am thirsty? When we read or hear Jesus saying, I am thirsty, maybe we think about times when we have been thirsty. I remember one specific time in college, temperatures were right around 100 degrees, and I walked a mile and a half with my roommate to a blacktop. And what I didn't know then is that blacktops can be up to 60 degrees hotter than the air temperature. We walked a mile and a half during the hottest time of the day to play one-on-one basketball on a blacktop. And we didn't bring water with us. There weren't any water fountains around. And the thing is, I've never been a really good basketball player. I was always a good passer, but you can't really pass when you're playing one-on-one. So the only way I could compete with better players was to work, to hustle twice as hard as they did. And I remember feeling like I was going to die after the first game. But I knew my opponent felt even worse. So I challenged him to a rematch, and I won the second game, and nothing better exemplifies testosterone-induced idiocy more than the fact that we decided to play a third game. And I remember walking home after that third game, feeling like there wasn't a drop of moisture left in my entire body. I had never been thirstier in my life. And I'm sure there have been times in all of our lives when we have felt exceptionally thirsty, but I don't think Jesus was only speaking about physical thirst. When some of us read Jesus speaking about thirst, we don't think about physical thirst, we think about spiritual thirst. We think about things we spiritually thirst for, things we passionately yearn for. Maybe we thirst for justice or peace. Maybe we thirst for a world where people treat each other with kindness and patience and love. Maybe during this unprecedented time in our history, we thirst to be able to come together without fear. Maybe we thirst for simple human contact. Maybe we thirst for what we once took for granted. Maybe, like me, you thirst for the ability to gather with people you love and worship our God with joy and thanksgiving. Maybe right now, what we thirst for most is for things to be just like they used to be, or maybe we thirst to somehow use this time to start creating a better world, a world where we no longer thirst for justice or peace, because justice and peace flow like a mighty river. Now, there's nothing wrong about reading this text and thinking about the things we thirst for, but maybe instead of making this scripture about us and what we thirst for, maybe we should look at what it meant for Jesus to say, "I am thirsty." Maybe Jesus saying, "I am thirsty," has something to do with what Jesus said in the previous chapter of this gospel. We read in that chapter that after Peter sliced off the ear of one of the men who came to arrest Jesus, Jesus told Peter, "Put away your sword. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" Interpreting what Jesus meant by the cup the Father had given him is not very difficult. The cup is his mission. It's the same exact cup Jesus spoke of in the garden when, filled with anguish, he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours." Maybe Jesus saying, "I am thirsty," alludes to his willingness to drink from this cup. Maybe when he says, "I am thirsty," he's announcing he's ready to complete his mission. He's ready to finish drinking from the cup the Father had given him. Or maybe there's something else going on here too. All of Jesus' "I am" statements have more than one meaning, and this statement, "I am thirsty," is no different. You see, there's irony in these words, real irony, not the fake rain on your wedding day irony Alanis Morissette sang about. There's irony in Jesus saying he's thirsty because Jesus told the woman at the well that he is the source of living water and that everyone who comes to him will never be thirsty again. How can the source of living water be thirsty? How can Jesus be thirsty when everyone who comes to him will never thirst again? Jesus is speaking on so many different levels here. Jesus is speaking about physical thirst and spiritual thirst. Jesus is speaking literally, metaphorically, and ironically. And the irony of Jesus saying, "I am thirsty," should be like a flashing light. It should be like a neon sign that screams to us, "Look over here. Listen to what Jesus is saying. This is important." But the people around him missed the irony. They missed the metaphor. They missed the fact that Jesus is speaking about more than mere physical thirst. So they offered him sour wine, bad wine. And there's something almost poetic in this, because the very first miracle Jesus performed in this gospel, the very first sign that Jesus performed that showed Jesus was more than just a teacher, was turning a ridiculous amount of water into good wine. In the beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus offered the people an abundance of good wine. And here, at the very end of his earthly ministry, all the people have for Jesus is a spongeful of bad wine. Jesus gave us everything, and in the end, all we gave him was bad wine from a filthy sponge. Let's not be like the people who misunderstood what Jesus was saying when he said, "I am thirsty." Let's understand that Jesus packed an abundance of meaning into these final words. And let's understand that we can also see these words in a very simple way. What do we think Jesus was thirsting for as he hung from the cross? At that moment, what did Jesus want more than anything else? As Jesus used some of his very last breaths to say he was thirsty, what did Jesus want from us? And what does Jesus thirst for now? What does Jesus want right now more than anything else? What does Jesus want from us? And this is often the time in a sermon when I tell you what I believe Jesus thirsts for. This is often the time in a sermon when I tie everything up in a nice little bow. But let's not do that today. We're doing church differently today, so maybe I should preach differently too. So instead of offering possible answers, I'll end this sermon with a question. What do you think Jesus is thirsting for right now? Spend some time thinking about that question this week. This question will be on the Revive Facebook page. Feel free to share your answers in the comments or keep your answers to yourself. All I ask is that you spend some time, some real time this week, asking yourself, what is Jesus thirsting for right now? Amen. So this is the time in our service where we always have communion, but podcast format doesn't really lend itself to having communion. So let's take this moment, let's take this time to take some breaths, to open our hearts and our minds to the Holy Spirit. Let's take some time to be silent with our Creator. Gracious and holy God, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment when we can focus on you and your love. We thank you for this time when we can focus on Jesus, on who he was and is, and how we can better follow his way. Lord, to be honest, we come to you with our heads filled with distractions. There's so much going around that causes us anxiety and confusion and fear. Lord, there's so much that keeps us centered on ourselves and our lives and the lives of those we love that it's difficult for us to spend time focusing on you. So Lord, we ask that you help us do this. We ask that you help us use this time to focus on you and your love so that we can feel calm and peace, so we can feel assurance, so we can feel and see the light of Christ. And we ask this not just for ourselves, not just so we can be comfortable. We ask this so the light of Christ can fill us and others can see Christ through us. Lord, during this time, we pray more than ever to become the people you called us to be. Lord, we thank you for so much. Even during this time of hardship, there is so much we have that we are thankful for, and we thank you for that, and we pray that we never take your love for granted. We thank you for giving us this time to remember the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Ocean, no valley too low can keep.
Lord, there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from you, that can keep us from loving each other. And may the grace and love and peace and joy of Jesus the Christ be with each and every one of us, driving away all of our fears now and forever. Amen.